Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. 2 hours of open forum today. You can call and ask whatever you like, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. 888-318-7884. Second hour, Jimmy Akin here with us. First hour, Tim Staples. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples, the author of this book right here that I'm holding in my hand, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Also, 20 Answers of the Rosary that we got here. I don't have nuts and bolts, but nuts
and
bolts.
How about Mary? My 20 Answers Mary.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do the Rosary. I brought the wrong one. You did Mary. I apologize. 20 Answers Mary.
Amen, brother.
And then, of course, nuts and bolts, a practical how-to guide
to evangelism. Amen, brother. And then there is that Teacher of Strange Things.
Ah, yeah, that's mine.
That I should have written, but you did.
Do you feel like you're strange enough to write that? I don't know. I feel like I have more strangeness.
It needed somebody strange like you. That's true.
It did. There's three lines open right now. If you've got a question for Tim, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Everybody at the Staples household survived the
yes,
the hurricane?
The deluge. You know, I had friends that were texting and such. How are you guys? Are you okay? And we just got nothing. It was like it's just a nice little rain.
I know.
I guess it hit to the
East of us.
To the east of us, yeah.
Right. This is the actual headline from the San Diego Union Tribune. I thought it was so. I don't think that they were joking either. I think that they meant this, but this is a funny headline. It said, "San Diego deluged by moderate rain." That's what it said. Look it up. That's the actual headline.
We were deluged by reports. That we were all going to die, you know, and it ended up being nothing. But you know what? Isn't that kind of apropos, though? Because that's just the media in general. Can I
just
say
truth,
something
Tim.
To folks here? You know, this is the media in general. Everything is depicted hyperbolically. Please remember this, right? That you know, crime is so bad, they're going to, you know, be stealing your children out of your house by the millions. I mean, everything is so bad. The church is in chaos. It's absolutely crazy. Nobody loves Jesus any longer. I mean, if you just watch the media, God help you. Stop it. Stop it, because it's insane. You know what I think a great antidote is to all the negativity in the media? And that can be Catholic media. I mean, we've got Catholics out there who are just spewing out nonsense 24 hours a day of how absolutely horrible the church is. It's like, wow, that's great evangelism, isn't it? I want to be Catholic. Do you see that?
But
you know, it's just not true. You know what the best antidote is, Cy? Doing what you did Friday. Go out to a parish and speak.
Oh, yeah.
Meet people.
Yeah.
Talk with people. And you know what? Go to a coffee shop in your neighborhood and sit and talk with people. And you realize, you're going to have people that have all kinds of beliefs that do not agree with ours. But what you're going to find, Cy, is what you find in every generation. Most people are basically good people that are struggling to put food on the table, raise their kids, get their kids in school, keep them in school, and all the rest. It's not just like the storm that was going to destroy San Diego was not. You know, not that that can't happen, but I just can't help but to see that as a metaphor of what we see going on out there. Folks, be encouraged. There is so much good stuff going on right now in the church. People are fired up all around the world, and they're sharing Jesus with people. That's what we've got to be about.
They really are, yeah. The number's 888-318-7884. We'll start with Mitchell in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Mitchell, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi. So my question is about the church's teaching on end-of-life issues.
Yes. Okay.
I was talking with an elderly neighbor recently who she's almost 90 years old, I think, and she has some form of cancer, and there's some treatment that she's been kind of hesitating to get. I believe it's because it would cause some kind of prolonged physical suffering.
Right.
And it's only treatment, like it wouldn't be able to cure what she has. And she's kind of struggled with the idea of, well, if I don't get it, is that basically like committing suicide? So my question would basically be, from, you know, from the faith standpoint, does she have to seek out this medical treatment if it's just to prolong her natural life? Or
right.
can she kind of just let herself die naturally?
Right, right. Yes. There's a wonderful section in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2276 to 2279. It's just four little sections. And this is what I love about the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And folks, if you don't have one in your house, shame on you. As a Catholic, every household needs a catechism, because this is a wonderful gift to the church. But it speaks to this point in section 2278 that says, quote, discontinuing medical procedures that are burdensome, dangerous, extraordinary, or disproportionate to the expected outcome can be legitimate. It is the refusal of overzealous treatment. Here, one does not will to cause death. One's inability to impede it is accepted. You accept your own mortality. The decision should be made by the patient, if he is competent or able to. If not, by those legally entitled to act for the patient. So it's a great section. It goes on a little bit here, but that's the bottom line. If we're talking about prolonging life, this is a decision that really has to be made by the patient in consultation with family members and hopefully with a good spiritual director. But I do think that overzealous treatment at times can be a huge burden on families. And you do have situations where people are malformed in their faith and they actually believe, Cy Kellett, that they
have to. Yeah.
And you have to bankrupt yourself in the process and your whole family. And that's simply not true. That's where faith comes in, my friend. I think your loved one there is exactly right. And as long as she continues thinking like that, you need to think about others and consult others. Consult your loved ones, but make that decision accordingly. And heaven knows, no, you do not have to accept these overly burdensome, expensive treatments where we're talking about just prolonging the inevitable. And I'll say one other thing. At times, you get to a situation where the person can't even receive the treatment any longer. And that can actually become cruel.
Yeah.
Now your situation is not there yet, but we do have to be careful of that mentality. We have to, you know, I remember, you might be surprised I'm bringing up. Do you remember the movie with Dudley Moore where he played the spoiled rich kid?
Oh, Christopher Cross wrote the song for it. Now I can't remember the name of it.
Arthur.
Arthur. Yeah, Arthur. There it is.
Arthur. But there's a great scene in there where Arthur's mentor, his butler, is dying. And he says at one point, he says, "Don't fear for me, Arthur. Death now it is welcome. In fact, it seems comforting." At this time. You know, and I think that's...
That's John Gielgud that does
John,
that,
yeah, John Gielgud, the late great. But it's a beautiful line there, because we, as Catholic Christians, we understand that the grace of God is with us, especially in those last hours of life. All those rosaries are going to come back. All those prayers, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. We can expect the grace of God to enter into that room. And if I had time, I could tell you a story of my dad. We had an experience like that when my dad was dying of Alzheimer's. And I'll tell you what, we can expect that as Catholics, to know that God is going to be with us until the end. And we can expect that sort of that last minute comforting experience. And how many, you know what, I will share this.
Okay.
My brother Ted, this may be of comfort to you. My brother Ted, my mother, I was in Australia. I could only visit by digital access, right? But when my dad was dying, he had lost all of his faculties because he was dying of complications from Alzheimer's. And couldn't even use his arms, legs, could not talk. He could not move. He was gone intellectually for the last week or so. And in the last moments of his life, my brother Ted, my oldest brother, just felt moved, he said, to take my dad's hand, even though he knew my dad couldn't feel, couldn't see, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. He couldn't move. My brother took his hand and just leaned over and said, "Dad, I love you." And just as my brother said that, my dad squeezed his hand.
Wow.
He hadn't been able to use his arms or legs now for quite a while. And he squeezed his hand shortly before he died. That, my friend, is the grace of God. And that is what we can expect, I believe. What a wonderful faith we have. And thank you for your question, by the way, because hopefully that will be a help to others as well.
Thank you, Mitchell. That brings us to the break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
EWTN has just increased my faith so much. I am a cradle Catholic, and I thought I knew my faith very well. When Mother Angelica passed away and it was so much in the news, I learned all about EWTN and started listening all the time. And my eyes have been opened to my faith so much.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Open Forum, Tim Staples. Tim is one of the speakers at our upcoming conference. I think you've been a speaker at every single conference that we've had.
I sure have, and I am so looking forward to this conference. It is going to be awesome. Talk about the message for the hour right now.
Yeah, we believe in God.
I believe in God. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
I just let people know that you go to CatholicAnswersConference.com if you'd like to come. Scott Hahn's going to be there. As I said, Tim will be there. All of our guys will be there. Lots of wonderful speakers, and we're just going to focus on that. First line of the creed,
amen.
I believe in God. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Let's go to Justin in Ontario watching on YouTube. Hi, Justin. Got a question for Tim?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. It's good to hear you guys again. I just want to give a shout-out to my buddy Mitch, who's actually one of my best friends in Wisconsin. He's just called. So
I love the best friend shout-out. Mitch, what's up? Call in sometime, Mitch.
That's what I keep telling him. Call in more. I got an interesting question for you, Tim.
Okay.
Right into the phone, okay, Justin?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little unclear, but go ahead. We lost Justin. I can't make out the question, so I got to put Justin on hold. I'm so sorry, Justin. It's probably the Canadian phone system. I know it's not the American phone system, but hang on a quick sec. We'll come back to you. Don't hang up. We just got to get that line cleared. And in the meantime, we'll go to Minnesota, where Cooper is listening on the Catholic Answers app. Cooper, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Say.
There's that good old American phone system. Sounding good, Cooper.
Why are you picking on our Canadian friends?
They're nice. They
Sometimes
can take
you got to think they deserve it a little bit.
Oh, now, come on, Cooper.
What's happening, Cooper? Okay. What's on your mind, brother?
Okay. Well, I had a question because I was talking to a Protestant a while back, and they're saying that we worship Mary, we place her on the same level as God. And while I was looking in the catechism, during the show I was running, I found where I was looking, and it was in, I think, paragraph 2114.
Yes.
I think I'm citing that correctly.
Okay.
And it was talking about how nothing should be placed before God in worship. And I know I can talk to them about, like, okay, what actually is worship? Like, prayer doesn't always go to that, and I know that it's technically invoking and not prayer. But I saw in that paragraph how one could kind of misconstrue it and think that we're placing these saints on the same level as God. And so I was just curious about other places to look as far as, like, kind of going about that, because I did point that out, but I can just see someone looking at the catechism in that point and saying, aha,
okay.
Yeah, and it's a good point, but I think what you have to do is point out to folks that when we pray to saints, we're not putting anything before God. I guess, to me, what really helped me to understand this is that it's God who commands us to love one another as members of the body of Christ, to pray for one another. And it's God who himself, on the cross, and this is the title of my book, my friend, Behold Your Mother, from, you know, John 19, 26 and 27, the famous text where Jesus is on the cross and John is looking up at him. Now, imagine, brother, he's looking up at his salvation, Jesus, right? This is my salvation, no doubt John is thinking. But what does Jesus say to him among the seven sayings? He says, behold your mother. Now, wait a minute. Why would Jesus direct John to the mother of God at this most sacred moment where John is looking to him? And the reason is basically love. See, Jesus knows, God knows, my brother, that you and I need a couple of things. Number one, we need a lot. But there are a couple of things we need that, in a sense, now this might rock your Protestant friends here for a moment, but in a sense, God can't give to us. Right? You say, what? God can't. That's blasphemy, Cy Kellett. You should throw this guy off the radio right now.
I'm so close, Tim. I'm so close.
That's right. That God can. Number one, God can't be a mother for us, right? Scripture reveals, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says in section 239 and 240, Scripture reveals God is like a mother. He gathers us together as a hen doth gather her chicks, as Jesus says in Matthew 23:37, and elsewhere the Catechism quotes the Old Testament. God is like a mother. But he is revealed to be Father, right? And yet, how many of us know we need a mother?
Right.
It's so deep within the race. We need a father and mother. And I know we live in a situation today where the culture has gone absolutely berserk and believes you can have two mommies or two daddies, or now all sorts of combinations are being created. But the fact is, it's written into our DNA. We need a mom and a dad. And on a spiritual level here, Jesus gives John not just a mother, but the perfect mother. And not just to John, but to all of us. Now, is that putting Mary over or on a par with Jesus? No. It's providing John and all of us with something that we need so desperately as human beings. And so he gives us the greatest mother, in fact, the pinnacle of all creation in the mother of God. But there's another thing that God can't be for us, in a strict sense, right? Now, of course, when, you know, folks, when we talk about the goodness of Mary, any goodness in her comes from Jesus. All of the perfections that we hold out as being feminine, whether it's love itself, right? Well, God is love, or wisdom, or tenderness, or, you know, the intimacy, right, that a mother has with a child, all of those perfections are infinite and perfect in God. Of course, that is true. But yet, God is not mother still. He is Father, and he knows we need a mother. But there's something else, Cy, that Jesus can't be for us. Do you know, Cy Kellett, Jesus can't be a disciple of Jesus.
That is a very good point. He cannot.
He cannot. That's right. And now you can say, well, in a mystical sense, yes, he is, because we're his hands and his feet. And that is true. But he has deigned, and I said this at the very beginning, and this is why I say everything gets back to love, doesn't it, Cy?
Yes.
He is the one who deigned to create this beautiful reality of the incarnation and baptism and our incorporation into Christ, where we become members of his body. And we, as a result of that, become so joined to Jesus Christ that we can become Christ for each other. But the bottom line is, and I'm going to show your friend 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. Jesus said, or St. Paul says, you have 10,000 instructors in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not many fathers. I've become your father, for I've begotten you through the gospel. I urge you, therefore, brethren, be imitators of me. Paul said that. Cy Kellett, would you run around saying, hey, everybody, be an imitator of me? I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But you know what? We need people like that. We need fathers and mothers in the body of Christ. We need disciples that we can look up to, like St. Paul offered himself to the Corinthians. You see? Now, is St. Paul, ask your friend, is Paul putting himself before God?
Right. No.
No. Any goodness in Paul comes from God, but God wills for us as members of the body of Christ to minister to one another. And that's what, when we talk about praying to saints, yes, we pray to saints. Absolutely, we do. But remember, there's an essential difference between prayer to God and prayer to saints. Prayer to God has attached to it what we call latria, which is worship or adoration that is due to God alone. When we pray to the saints, we attach, now the Blessed Mother, what we call hyperdulia, St. Joseph protodulia. These are special kinds of honor we give to Mary and Joseph because of their greatness in the body of Christ. But we give not latria, but dulia, honor to the saints when we pray to them. In other words, I don't pray to Mary just the same way I talk to Cy Kellett, right? Because of her greatness in the body of Christ, I give her greater honor. And that's all over the place in sacred scripture, by the way. Luke chapter 1, verse 48, all generations shall call me blessed, says the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? For the Almighty has done great things for me. Because we recognize the great things God has done in and through the Blessed Mother, we honor her as such, but we acknowledge that it's God who works that greatness in her and through her. And I think if you emphasize that and show how, look, Jesus does it with his mother there in John chapter 19, behold your mother, John. He honors his mother and tells John basically to do the same thing. And if we can bring that point home to help folks to understand then, when we're talking about praying to God and praying to saints, yeah, we're praying to the saints in as much as we're talking to them. We're not praying through them. You know, we're praying to them in the sense of communicating with them. Maybe I should explain that real quick. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 20, when Bathsheba goes in to make a request of her son Solomon, she goes in, and Solomon, of course, says, what do you desire? For there's nothing that I shall withhold from you. Bathsheba makes the request and says, I pray thee, I'm quoting the King James, by the way, I pray thee, say me not nay, right? Notice, I pray thee.
Right.
Now, she's not worshiping Solomon, or she's simply using the word pray, as we did for hundreds of years with the English language, and it still means the same thing today. If you look at Webster's Dictionary, pray does not necessarily carry the connotation of worship. It simply doesn't. In England, to this day, they will say, I pray thee, my Lord, right? Especially in courts of law and whatnot.
Right.
I pray thee. Or we used to say, pray tell, right? Pray can simply mean a rational entreaty between rational persons. And that's how we're using it when we talk about praying to Mary or praying to the saints. Now, again, we honor them because we render to God that which is God's, and we render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and we render, you know, justice and piety, the sort of subset of justice being piety, is basically rendering to each person what is their due. And that's what we do when we honor the saints. But heavens, no, we never worship, we never adore. And the last thing I'll say to you, take your friend to Mass and show him that the ultimate way that you see what Catholics do is go to Mass. We offer the Mass to the Father in the name of Jesus, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is all directed. Mentioning of the saints, including Mary, is on the periphery. The worship goes to God alone.
Right back with more Open Forum.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made, and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Dr. David Anders here. Where is purgatory in the Bible? Why confess my sins to a priest?
Find out more tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on Call to Communion.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Open Forum. We'll go back up to Ontario, Canada, and see if we got a good connection with Justin this time. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound good. Yeah, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Okay, good. There's no problem with the Canadian phone lines. American phone lines, it's a work in progress.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, you get the last word on that.
Okay, so here's my question, Tim. If you go to Luke's Gospel, It makes it clear that at the Last Supper, Jesus consecrated his body first, and he gave it to the apostles to eat first, and only after they've eaten of his body does he actually change the wine into his blood. Mm. Is there any theological or ecclesiological significance to that? I mean, I'm not aware of early church doing it that way.
Right.
But is there a meaning there that you're aware of?
Yeah, I think the meaning is to accentuate the fact that Jesus is entirely present under each species, right? And so the emphasis being that, you know, there was a heresy that came along many, many centuries later that taught that unless you receive both species, you don't receive the whole Jesus, as though you have received part of Jesus. But the fact that, you know, Jesus gives this to them and they receive distinctly seems to indicate. Now, of course, in our Latin liturgy, in the liturgy in general, we emphasize this fact with the double genuflection. So after the priest receives the sacred host, he then genuflects to make clear that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. He receives Jesus before the chalice is consecrated, and then he receives the precious blood. And so there seems to be, I think, in divine providence here, an emphasis on that fact, that there is a dual consecration here. It's not part of Jesus is in the sacred host, and part of Jesus is in the wine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I just wondered if there was a significance to the fact that they actually ate the body first before the wine was transubstantiated.
Yeah, now,
how come churches don't do that? I mean, there's no Catholic church in the East or West that does that anymore.
Right. Well, after the consecration, the priest receives, who is celebrating, he consumes the sacred host before he consumes the precious blood, right?
Okay.
So there is a, certainly, I get your point, though, the emphasis being on the dual consecration more so than the dual reception of the Eucharist. But I think the emphasis is for that reason, the emphasis being on the dual consecration and the dual reality of Jesus being entirely present under each species. That's, I think, the crux of the answer here.
Justin, thank you. I'm glad we got to hear the question and have that conversation with you. I want to continue in Canada because Carlos is up in Canada listening on Catholic.com. Carlos, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hello. Thanks. Tim, so I had a question in regard to Matthew verse 15, chapters 21. I mean, chapter 15, sorry, verses 21 to 28.
Oh, yes. Beautiful text.
I think that was the reading this weekend, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, but I had the question, it seems like, you know, the Lord is like dismissing this woman, comparing her like to a dog.
Yes.
And it doesn't feel like, you know, charitable, so I don't know how to interpret that.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much for that question. And yes, this was the reading from this past weekend. And in my book, Behold Your Mother, I have a section on this. And basically what you have here is, and this was really the theme of the readings this past weekend. You know, if you remember, the first reading was from Isaiah chapter 56, and where you have the beautiful story of how, if I could do this quickly, you have to remember, and hang with me here, brother, this might take a couple of minutes, but Isaiah is kind of broken up into sections. You have like the first, 39 chapters are written by Isaiah himself, and then chapters 40 through 55. Many believe that that's Deutero-Isaiah, a second part of Isaiah that was written sometime later, roughly 150 years later. And then the third part, which is what we started reading, in chapter 56 through 66, they call Trito-Isaiah, right? That was written about 200 years after Isaiah, and that is written during the time of the return after the Babylonian exile. By the way, that second section was written during the exile, and the third section was written after the return, and that's why you have the emphasis on the restoration and healing and the prophecies of the new covenant and so forth in Isaiah 66 and whatnot. But here's the key. It's a beautiful reading because in chapter 56, it talks about the Gentiles coming to the holy mountain of God and receiving and participating in the sacrifices. And why is that? Because during the pain and suffering of the exile, And we forget this, Cy. There were Gentiles who converted to Judaism because of the faithfulness of the faithful remnant who were in exile and basically in slavery and so forth for the 70 years of captivity. But there was healing that happened. And so what you see there in Isaiah is kind of, on a grand scale, the Christian life and the story of Christ. And it is this, that God often, and unfortunately this is the way it is, God would love to just bless us and all of us to be just saints, Cy Kellett, and God doesn't have to bring any judgment against us whatsoever. But let's face it, we're sinners and we're hard-headed. And you look at the nation of Israel and what happens? God brings judgment upon them through the Assyrians, the Babylonians in Isaiah's time. But ultimately, he's always working, isn't he? In the midst of the judgment and the suffering, he's bringing salvation, my friend. And that was the message of the first reading in Isaiah. And then we had the readings from Romans, where, you know, St. Paul talks about how the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And even though the Jews have been cut off, he says, because of their disobedience, and you Gentiles have been, you know, gathered onto the vine, he says, God has a plan for the Jews as well. And he warns us that we better remain in his goodness or we too will be cut off. That's a little bit further down in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. But this is a theme of the readings this weekend, and I think beautifully, and I love the psalm too. I forget the psalm, what I want to say 67, as I recall, but the psalm also talked about, behold, the salvation of God in the midst of rejoicing, in the midst of pain. Behold, the salvation of God comes. Well, that brings us to the reading, my friend, in Matthew 15. And here we have a Canaanite woman. She's not a Jew, but her daughter is grievously vexed with a demon, and she comes to Jesus. Please, Jesus, heal my daughter. Now, on a cosmic or a universal level, there's a lot of stuff going on here, brother. And we do have to remember that, Cy Kellett, in our lives. God is working in ways you and I simply are not aware of. And no doubt, this woman, she's a Canaanite. She doesn't know all of Jewish salvation history and everything. All she knew is she had a daughter who was grievously vexed with a demon, and she says, please heal her. But Jesus, remember, was not sent to the Gentiles first. He was sent to the Jews. Why? Because that was God's plan. The plan was for the Jews, of course, to be a blessing to the nations. They would be blessed so that they could go out and be a blessing. And you got a hint of that in Isaiah 56. Even though the Jews had kind of turned in on themselves, God had to bring judgment to get them to do it, but they did. And Gentiles were converted as a result of the faithful remnant. Well, here, God once again comes to the Jews first. And so when this woman comes to him, Jesus, on one level, he answered her not a word. Why? Because he wasn't sent to the Gentiles. He's coming to the Jews. The Jews were to be a blessing to the nations, right? And then the apostles come and say, send this woman away. She keeps crying after us, Lord. And you'd think Jesus is going to rebuke him, but he doesn't. He says, I was not sent. This is rebuke number two, by the way, apparent. I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, my goodness. Then what does the woman do? She starts a protest. Down with Jesus. He's discriminatory. Down. No, she doesn't, does she? She actually cries out all the more. But this time there's a change. And she says, Lord, help me. Do you notice how no longer is it the daughter?
Yeah.
There's a change. She says, help me. Please understand, my brother, in the midst of, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Jesus coming to the Jews first. It's the plan of God and all of that. But God is also working something in the life of that woman. Even in the midst of exile and pain, God was working salvation through the Jews to the Gentiles. Even in the midst of this woman's pain, and apparently on the surface, she's being rebuked here for a second time. She says, Lord, help me. But once again, Jesus doesn't just say, oh, I'm going to heal your daughter. No, he says it's not right to take the food of the children and cast it to dogs. Brother, I want you to remember it was St. Francis of Assisi who said concerning this very passage, he said, until you and I understand that we are dogs begging for crumbs at the master's table, we will never go anywhere in the spiritual life. That is a message that is needed today in our day of entitlement, where everybody, my friends, we are not owed anything by Almighty God. The only thing you and I have earned is hell. That's the only thing I've earned. I'll guarantee you that, Psyche.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's the only thing we have earned. And this woman got it. That, you know, Jesus, in the midst of all of this pain and now this apparent third rebuke, that woman is understanding who it is she's talking to. This is Almighty God here, my friend. I believe she got that revelation. And she says, yes, Lord. As St. Francis says, she acknowledged, yes, I am a dog. In fact, folks, we are less than nothing next to Almighty God. We are, and she says, yes, Lord, but even the pups eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus says, blessed are you. And her daughter was healed. Folks, understand, and my friend, please understand, Jesus wanted to heal that woman's daughter more than he wanted his daughter healed. But there are bigger things that have to take place. And at times in our lives, when you're begging God to heal your child and he's not healed, You should know, and all of us must know, there are things going on. And sometimes we won't discover the full picture this side of the veil. It may be the next life when we understand the full picture. This woman, as a blessing to all of us, got to see the end in the sense
right.
that she says, yes, Lord, and he blesses her and he heals the daughter. But please remember, folks, life is serious business. And at times, God has to. I'm sure the Jews were saying, why, oh Lord, 70 years in Babylonian captivity, being whipped and beaten and enslaved and everything else. But guess what? God was working something great in the midst of all of it. And you saw it in the readings. This woman, no doubt, was wondering, what? Why is he doing this to me? But you know what? She had the faith, Cy Kellett, and she continued. And she was going to cry out. She was determined. And that's why she was blessed. So understand, my friends, it's not that God is mean. Jesus is mean. No, Jesus knows that you and I need pain. We need suffering this side of the veil in order to open our eyes. It's the way of things because of the fall. Sin brings death. It brings decay, and sometimes to wake us up, we need to experience the cross. But please understand, when you experience the cross, you can expect resurrection as well, and that woman got it.
Carlos, thank you so much. That brings us to the break. We'll take a quick one and be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Hi friends, Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our congratulations to another member of the EWTN radio family, Veritas Catholic Radio in Connecticut, celebrating their fourth year with EWTN. Congratulations to Steve Lee and his team at WNLK from all of us here at Catholic Answers and the whole EWTN family. So happy to have Veritas there in Connecticut. Up next, for Tim Staples, Gil in Long Island, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Gil, nice to hear from you again. Go ahead with your question for Tim. Oh, really, Gil? We're listening. He's listening to the radio. So yes.
I'm here.
Well, all right. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
All right. Hold on a second. Alexa, cancel. Thank you. Hey, Tim Staples.
Alexa, she's good.
It's a pleasure. I hope you remember me. I'm the blind caller. I remember I asked you if you ever wanted to be on the Bible Answer Man, and I heard you years ago. That's how I found you. I listened to you on Hank Hanegraaff's program. So,
it's
such an honor to speak to you.
Yes, I remember you well, and yes, I had two wonderful experiences on Hank's broadcast. But that's great, yes. Brother. That's quite a few years ago.
I have the tape too with you debating on James White on Mary and all of that. You did a great, great job.
I
think you did better. Really good job. I still have the tape. I love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Very clear.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Yes. All right. So what's on your mind, brother?
Electronic hug. Yes. both of you. I wanted to share. I was sharing with a Catholic friend of mine. He's very nice. He asked me if I need any help. I live in a nursing home to get around. Even though I get around, he likes to help me and stuff.
Yeah.
And his name is Ed. And I was asking him, are you saved? And you know, I was. He said that's not a Catholic thing. That's a Protestant thing. And I try to show him from the Catholic Bible that I memorize.
Yeah.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It's very clear in the Catholic Bible.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. It's like he's not into the Bible, but he's into the tradition and praying and all of that. But he doesn't read the Bible for himself.
Right.
And I like Scott Hahn, you know, and he reads. Encouraging Catholics to read the Bible more and stuff. That's what I like about Scott Hahn.
Yes, Scott always used
to
say,
get into the Bible more.
Yeah, Scott used to always say, calling all Catholics to be Bible Christians and all Bible Christians to be Catholics.
Yeah, that's a very good way to say it, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Gil, this is a popular myth, you know, that Catholics don't quote the Bible, right, or you know, that sort of thing. And of course, it's a myth. I was sharing with Cy Kellett during the break that when I was in the seminary at St. Charles Borromeo, and I wish I could remember the Monsignor's name, it eludes me right now, but we had a Monsignor who was one of Pope St. John Paul the Great's secretaries, and he told us during our retreat that Pope St. John Paul had the entire New Testament memorized. He could just crank it out, you know, bam, verbatim. And of course, in our tradition, Scripture, my goodness, go to Mass, right, Gil? Look at how we elevate the gospel and carry it forward, and the lectionary as well. Of course, there's a special place for the gospel, but the lectionary in general is so revered. In fact, one of the beauties of the reform of Vatican II is the fact that we've multiplied the readings of scriptures. We have five times more readings in the New Testament, 17 times more in the Old Testament. The prayers of the liturgy are inundated with sacred scripture. The last caller just asked a question from this past gospel from the 21st Sunday in Ordinary. I think it was 20th or 21st, whichever one we're at. And absolutely rich and beautiful. And so, man, and then I would say, go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you will find on every page numerous Bible verses quoted. And when it comes to texts of Scripture, like you just mentioned, Gil, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we have a whole theology that explains that, yes, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. We're the ones who prove we believe this, Cy Kellett. We baptize babies. Gil, what did a baby do to merit salvation, justification? Absolutely nothing. We believe that, and of course in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's talking about the initial grace of justification, salvation. It is absolutely and entirely unmerited. That's why we can baptize babies. All that baby's doing is laying there pooping, right? And yet the priest pours water on his head. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is incorporated into Jesus Christ, receives the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the right to all the other sacraments in accordance with his calling in life, and more, my friend. Of course, salvation is entirely unmerited. But once you enter into that relationship with Jesus, as you know, Gil, we need to emphasize to our Protestant friends, then, as Father Brannan, who I talk about often on this broadcast, the late, great Jesuit who taught me Greek and Latin, but as Father Brannan used to say, if there's one thing that's clear in sacred scripture, before you enter into Jesus Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. And that's what Ephesians 2 is talking about. Why? Because if you look at the first few verses of Ephesians 2, he's talking to the Ephesians, and he says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you look at verse 3, you who were by nature children of wrath, right? That doesn't sound very good, right? Why? Because they were apart from Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But then what happens when you enter into Christ, Father Brannan says, right? Look at Jesus' words, John 15:5, apart from me you can do nothing. But what happens when you get in him? John 14:12, Jesus says, you will do greater things even than I have done. Back to St. Paul. Yes, before Christ, you're children of wrath. But what happens after you get in Christ? Gil, how about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things in Christ. It actually doesn't say through Christ. It says in Christ who gives me strength. Once you enter into Christ, that's when you can begin to merit. You can do all things, including meriting eternal life. And that's why St. Paul would say in texts like Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, God will reward each man according to his works. To the one who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory, incorruption, and everlasting life, my friend. So that's just a tidbit, Gil. You know what? The Bible is our book, man. It's totally Catholic. We need to take from Pope St. John Paul the Great, maybe none of us will be able to memorize the whole New Testament, but memorize as much as you can and use it because the Word of God is life. God bless you, Gil.
Thanks, Gil.
Much.
All right, brother.
The number here, 888-3187-884. Tim Staples is our guest, and it's open forum. Jimmy Akin will be here next hour. So you don't have the entire New Testament memorized, huh?
No, never got that far, my friend.
But you
I have a good amount, but you know, over the years I've become Catholic. You know, I've forgotten a lot of it. I'm joking, people.
Because lots of people have their Bible verses, but I can see in your mind, like when someone says something, you go to chapter and verse. You know where it is. But
yeah, you know what? It's I love Scripture, and I have to say, I have to thank God for my Protestant upbringing for that.
Where you
because
got
from the time I was 8 years old, Pastor Eugene Foreman at Boulevard Baptist Church taught us to love the Bible, memorize it. I started doing it when I was 8 years old.
Isn't that great?
And it became a habit. Even when I got away from God and I came back, as soon as I came back, I was right back on it. You read and you study, and the Word of God is so rich. That's why, by the way, I love the Reforms of Vatican II.
Where we so get much, so much more of the...
all the readings and the prayers, they're so rich. People, listen at Mass. It's awesome.
Thanks again, Gil. Thanks to everybody who's called. If you're on the line, hang on the line. If you haven't called yet, 888-318-7884. Jimmy Akin will be here in a minute. We will continue with Open Forum. Thank you, Tim.
God bless you, brother.
Right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.